Hello everyone, my name is Nana. I'm the Clinical and Custom Content Editor here at CAD. Today I'm very lucky to be joined by Isabel Nunn, a nutritionist and pharmacist.
That's right, yes.
Isabel has taken the time to join us to talk about elderly nutrition. This podcast is sponsored by Centrum. And today we're going to be talking about elderly nutrition and the kind of important things that you need to go through as age catches up with all of us. So Isabel, thank you so much and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So before we start, I would just like you to tell us a little bit about yourself, how you became a pharmacist, your journey to becoming a pharmacist, and what made you end up in the field you're in at the moment.
Well, I've always wanted to be in some form of medical field, seeing patients and being able to help them with advice. My father himself is a gynecologist and he works, you know, very long hours. And he sort of convinced me not to become a doctor. And he said, yes, pharmacist might be the right route for you so that if one day you want to be your own boss, you could, you know, set up your own and do as you please. So I then embarked on master's degree, did my 4 years, worked in independent and bigger stores as well, and I did some management. I loved it all. It's just at some point I realized I wanted a little bit more to add on a bit more to my knowledge because I felt that I didn't really understand the world of vitamins, minerals, deficiencies properly, and what we could do just at the level of seeing patients in and out of a pharmacy. What else could we do? And actually that opened bigger doors for me. So since I have kept up pharmacy for a little as a locum and just worked with companies like Nuffield Health, where I engaged far more with people from different areas, and then I did clinical practice. So now really I work as a consultant and I support businesses in many areas, but mostly still related to health and staying healthy, really.
that's amazing. And it's also very fascinating you mentioned about not really knowing what the world of vitamins and nutrients and that happens. Because in pharmacy, I find that as a pharmacist myself, that part of the knowledge is kind of limited when it comes to our studies. So I'm really happy to have you with us today so that we can actually tap into that wealth of knowledge and get some more of that information out there to pharmacists. So the topic we picked today is elderly people. So as age is going to catch up with all of us, some of us a little bit earlier than some. So I just thought we could go through, and also in pharmacy, unfortunately, most of our patients are the elderly. And those are the people that need to be given advice on this. So I kind of wanted to ask, what are the sort of health changes and the health requirement that happens as we get older?
Yeah, so, I mean, we are often sort of predisposed to nutritional inadequacy due to a decline in total and resting energy requirements. So by that, I mean physical activity naturally slows down. We have a loss of lean muscle and bone mass. We tend to have a bit more sort of adiposity, so accumulated fat, especially around the middle, as our metabolism slows down naturally. And this doesn't mean, you know, the older age group have lower nutritional requirements compared to younger adults. In fact, vitamins and minerals, their needs may increase. And the changes to meals often mean they need smaller portion sizes, but quite nutrient-dense meals, and packing as much variety as possible. And, you know, sometimes people fixate themselves a little bit on calories because that's what they see on packs. And I don't generally like talking to individuals about calories because then there's sometimes a bit of a mental block. But essentially, all we need to do is change a little bit the way we give ourselves the nutrients we take from a healthy, balanced and varied diet, and make sure that we're not scared of, you know, healthy fats, of protein, of our carbohydrates, but we need to also keep active because we need to counteract all those physiological changes that happen as we age.
So when we're, as you said, as adults, we learn to eat a certain portion for our physical needs. I think the tricky thing about getting older is that it almost creeps up on you.
Yes.
So it's almost learning when to make that adjustment. For example, how important would you say it is to maintain a healthy lifestyle? Do we keep the same lifestyle as we get older? Or what are the sort of changes that we need to make?
So I guess the healthy lifestyle term will be different for everyone. But as you do age, I mean, obviously we have, for example, changes in hormone levels. So, for example, testosterone levels decline, but reduction in testosterone levels can lead to complications. So higher blood pressure or an increased risk of type 2 diabetes and obesity, and also decrease in muscle mass, strength and bone density. And that applies for women and men. So when we think about all of this, we need to try and increase and vary the type of exercise we do, for example. So it doesn't have to be cardio intensive necessarily, but we need to increase weight resistance. But again, people sometimes think far beyond, you know, what can be done even at home. Like you go up the stairs, you walk more to a bus stop, you hoover the house, all these little things, you are using your body, your muscles, strength, your bone. So that's really important. And it can help to counteract problems like osteoporosis, which the elderly tend to be a bit more at risk of. So yeah, I mean, these healthy sort of balanced lifestyle is something we have to adopt from a very young age. And I have young children and I try and make them understand, you know, it's not all about having treats, but it's having fun, being active, is knowing how to prepare your food, but also being active on a regular basis, a small amount regularly, so 30 minutes, let's say, if you tend to be someone who's quite housebound and not doing much, then so if you try and do 30 minutes, 4 or 5 times a week of even just a walk, that's still better than nothing.
I think it's really difficult for people to understand that when we talk about exercise, it doesn't necessarily mean going to the gym. I think society kind of associates exercise with gym. And there are so many things that you can do, like you said, walking around, going to the bus stop, going to the shops. All of these things do count as part of a healthy lifestyle. You talked about the sort of changes that happens to your body as you get older, which affects the needs that you have and the healthy foods that you should need. What are some of these physiological changes that happen?
We mentioned the change in hormone levels so far. We also sometimes experience, well, not sometimes, we do experience a change of taste and smell as well. So which could mean losing the ability to recognize hunger and thirst. And that sometimes can lead to dehydration, but also an intentional sort of weight loss for some people. It's not always about the weight we put on, but more what we lose. We know that decreasing sense of taste can also mean some people might add more salt to their foods. And ideally, adults should eat less than 6 grams of salt a day. Now, that's tricky to measure or understand for many of us. But we know that on prepackaged food, for example, there will always be an indication of salt. Now, the ideal thing is, of course, cooking from scratch, where you know what goes into your food. We know also that you'll have a reduction in flexibility and a loss of strength. So that could affect the ability to move, shop, or even prepare your meals properly. So in that case, I often suggest to older individuals, try and get a bit of help and recognize that you need that help to maintain a healthy lifestyle sometimes. A declining appetite and also a reduction in stomach acid that influences how you break down and digest and absorb the food you are eating, even if you're trying to be healthy, but are you absorbing it properly? I suppose more like, well, your metabolism slows down. So looking at maybe how you combine certain meals and what times you eat. Sometimes it's not just about thinking, oh my gosh, my plate is full, but maybe I'm eating too much or not enough. But if you make sure you try and incorporate a bit of protein in your meal, whether it's vegetarian or animal-based, and also if you add fiber to your meals, these will naturally keep your blood sugar levels lower. And they also help to fill you up bit more. So making sure that each meal or your snacks also include protein and fiber, and that will naturally help you keep a bit more of a balance rather than overeating or thinking it too far down the line.
That's amazing. I think one of the things that you just mentioned that I would have never thought about is the fact that you lose your sense of taste and the salt. And that means you add more salt, because I think we've all been telling people to avoid, have low salt diet. And you don't realize that if you don't taste it, you don't know how much is in it. And yes. that's very fascinating. And okay, so I'm definitely going to say that to my parents when I get back. So when it comes to vitamin D deficiency, so we hear a lot about vitamin D deficiency. What is the impact of it in elderly patients?
So, I mean, if we think of vitamin D as a nutrient itself, so we know it's a fat-soluble vitamin. It's critical in helping your body absorb and maintain calcium and phosphorus. We know it contributes to the normal function of the immune system, your calcium levels, the maintenance of normal bones, muscle function, and it plays an important role in cell division. Now, the older adults, they are at an increased risk of vitamin D deficiency, because essentially the production and the metabolism of vitamin D change with aging. And those are often due to factors such as the reduced exposure to the sun and the reduced production capacity of the skin. Now, unfortunately, as we age, our bone density changes and we are more prone to reduced sort of bone mineral density and osteoporosis and fractures, like we mentioned. And that can also lead to falls. So vitamin D is really important for those who are older, and particularly if they're housebound, if they tend to cover their skin more, even when they are outside. So it is really important for them to actually think of supplementing it to top up their diet, because there's very small amounts that you can actually obtain through your diet.
Okay, because we mentioned about people going out less. Living in a climate like we do in the UK, where sometimes we hardly ever see the sun, what kind of difference does that make when it comes to how much vitamin D we actually need?
Yes. So basically, as you mentioned, so our bodies will produce a vitamin D when our skin is exposed to the sunlight. But because the UK is in the Northern Hemisphere, we have this intensity of sunlight required to generate enough vitamin D only present during the summer months. And that's why the national guidelines are usually you need to make sure that anyone over the age of 4 is supplementing with 10 micrograms of vitamin D from October through to late March, unless, of course, you fall into the at-risk group of individuals, which quite often includes the housebound and the elderly, as well as other categories of people.
I've always wondered, because, for example, my parents live 6 months of the year in Ghana, and it spends 6 months of the year in the UK. So when they're in Ghana, where there's loads of sun, they're out most of the time, they probably get a lot of vitamin D when they're there. When they do come here, so they're usually here in the summer months, so they probably don't need to. But is it very good that they have to be aware of having that change? So when they come over here, should they be supplementing their vitamin D, for instance?
Yes, I mean, when we look at the research and also the national recommendations, those who have pigmented skin, so if you are from a non-white ethnicity and generally African Caribbean, South Asian backgrounds, you will not be making enough vitamin D from sunlight when you are in England. Yes, your parents will probably have some stores more than the people who are here all year round. And therefore, we are normally told that we actually need to supplement to meet the right levels and not be at risk of deficiencies.
Yeah, that's amazing, because I think there is a little bit of confusion in the, like you said, Afro-Caribbean and the South Asian community, where we think because we are more pigmented skin, we are darker skin, that we get more vitamin D, when the sun comes out. But actually, we do need to supplement more vitamin D because we don't make as much.
Yes, so particularly because we live in the Northern Hemisphere as well, because of how the latitude as well and the shorter days that we have in the UK, except in the summer, those are all additional factors, which mean that we wouldn't obtain sufficient vitamin D. And on top of that, having the pigmented skin means we are liable to higher deficiency.
That's amazing. So what are these kind of lifestyle changes that elderly patients can start implementing to improve their health outcomes?
I would say if you look broader before we get to, you know, the 60 plus age, then exposure to sunlight every day, at least 10 to 15 minutes a day is safely, of course. But we know that a lot of people work indoors or just they can't necessarily go out because of injuries, etc., or commitments. But try and get that sunlight and try and go out even actually without sunglasses sometimes or a hat or sun protection because you just want to absorb that little bit of sunshine on your skin safely.
How long did you say you're supposed to do that for?
So a walk 10 to 15 minutes a day at least, I normally suggest to clients. And if they tend to wear SPF, well, in the winter, maybe aim for not more than SPF 15 so that at least they absorb a little bit of sunshine that is coming and touching the skin to create vitamin D. Of course, supplementation, the moment you start the autumn months through to March, so October to March. And if you find that you are in the at-risk group, so the high-risk group of people, then supplementation is required all year round so that by the time you do reach those elderly years, you are also limiting your consequences of vitamin D deficiency. And also, you know, regular checkups with the doctors because you might need a combination of, let's say, calcium and vitamin D because we know they work very well together. But again, all of these are individual. Sometimes people feel that they just want to resolve their queries or questions themselves and they just walk into a shop and just grab what they think is right. But do ask experts who are knowledgeable in the fields. So whether it's a pharmacist, a nutritionist or a doctor, they will have the right answers for you really.
Perfect. I always used to have a statement when I was in practice when patients would just come and pick up vitamins and supplements. I always used to say, unless you're specifically deficient in each of these, it's literally just expensive urine because your body's not going to use it if you don't need it. So I think it is important that people do start getting regular checkups and basically so that they know what their body needs.
Yes.
So I just wanted to ask, is there any factors that particularly apply to elderly patients that might affect the ability to absorb or consume the required nutrition?
Yes. So one of them, I would say chewing difficulties due to either obviously missing teeth or poorly fitted dentures. That could make certain adults, you know, forego foods like fruits and vegetables, which are really important sources of vitamins, minerals and fiber. Another one would be social isolation. So that can interfere with naturally eating well and mindfully. And by mindfully, I mean more being aware of what you're having, chewing your food properly, not necessarily being distracted by watching the TV, etc., because you are breaking down and starting to prepare those nutrients to be absorbed right from the start. So all of that has to be taken into consideration. Cognitive decline as well, or cognitive impairment can affect someone mentally, so they might feel a bit low and actually not really keen on thinking of what about his nutrition or regular intake or what he'll prepare the next day, she or he will prepare. So that can really affect your overall intake. Medication, as we know, some medication can impact on, yes, your sense of taste. We were talking about taste earlier on, but it can also affect your appetite. You know, some medication could give up metallic flavor and that adds to the problem of naturally the diminishing sense of taste and smell as people age. We know that other medical conditions like Parkinson's, arthritis, Alzheimer's can all interfere with your ability to cook, shop, or even using a fork to use different types of textures and foods, which can all impact on your overall nutrition. And there's one point we did start talking about is the change in stomach acid, which happens as you age, but we didn't go into detail. And basically, as we get older, we have a reduction in stomach acid, digestive enzymes, which help to break down the foods we eat. We have a reduction in saliva flow, the ability of your liver to just move things around and clear toxins, and also to metabolize drugs, which contribute to a change in gastrointestinal function. We did already talk about fewer taste buds, but there's also the common problem that older people tend to have is constipation. And it's not just because they don't move as much as, let's say, someone who's younger, but it's just that we have a natural decrease in intestinal motility. So that can impact on, you know, what else they'll have, or they might just try and keep it really plain and just have too much fiber because their aim is just to be more regular and feel less uncomfortable. And other things like your absorption of nutrients as you age, so calcium and iron might be reduced as you age. Tooth decay and gum disease might become a problem. And also, there's been a lot in the press about looking about your gut bacteria and your gut health. Well, we know that when we age, if we change our diet as well, we can easily have changes in the gut bacteria we have. So those levels between the healthy and unhealthy levels of bacteria. And that can influence your immune system. It can influence your sleep, your emotional well-being. And I guess lastly, the vitamin B12 is also another nutrient where the absorption is generally lower because of a lower stomach acid. So all of that can impact on the food we basically absorb or consume as we get older.
These are fascinating factors that affect elderly's ability to absorb and get these nutrients. So I think this really begs that we ask how often it is important for elderly people to get checked and to find out what their nutrient deficiencies are. How often would you say a person should get a checkup?
So again, I think if you start showing signs of certain deficiencies, so that does not necessarily just apply to vitamin D, it applies to iron. So if you're starting to feel fatigue and tired, calcium, vitamin B12. Also, if you follow a particular type of diet, so if you're vegan or vegetarian, you might need those checkups more often. And when you do go to a practice, normally they would do the particular blood tests. But otherwise, if you have a particular deficiency and it is just monitoring, sometimes they might tell you 3 to 6 months for vitamin D levels. Or if they find that you seem to be okay and well-balanced, they might suggest an annual checkup. But of course, if someone has any particular worries, they can go privately, then that is looked upon differently. And recommendations are made based on those blood tests for particular supplements. But we know also the NHS health check is available to those over the age of 40. I think it's 40 to 70, if I'm correct. And it usually is available every 5 years and only takes about 20 to 30 minutes. So with the absence of course, any other conditions that you might have. So those are already nice and available and free of charge checks, which, you know, a lot of other countries do not provide. So it would be important to just go in and say if you're not feeling great or you think you might be deficient in vitamin D because of particular factors, malabsorption issues in the gut or even your background, ethnic background, then, yeah, do ask for a checkup.
Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us and thank you for sharing your amazing wealth of knowledge with us. It's been great chatting to you. What I basically learned a lot about today, the tasting is an eye-opener for me, the fact that you lose your taste and that you need to be aware of the changes in your diet by that. And also the importance of exercising and getting out there and not necessarily having to go to the gym, by just doing some form of physical activity. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, Isabel.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you to our listeners, and thanks again to Centrum for sponsoring this podcast. Thank you, everyone. Good luck and goodbye.